ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Without spot or blemish. Wow. He took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. When people say, well, I'm a pretty good person, you know, pretty good doesn't cut it. You have to be perfect. You know, I know in our society today, everybody wins, you get your, you know, participation trophy, but that's not how heaven works. Heaven works is by receiving the gift of Christ. And his righteousness then is imputed into our life by faith. And think about, when was Jesus crucified? Passover. When? What is Passover? The lambs are being slain, right? What did John the Baptist say of Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. The Passover lambs could not take away your sins, only Jesus can. Was that just luck? Are you kidding me? This was the timing of God on Passover when the lambs were being slain. Jesus gave up his spirit. When were the lambs slain? Around 3 in the afternoon. So as the lambs are being slain, at 3 in the afternoon, our Lord gave up his spirit on the cross at Calvary. And what was going on in the temple area besides the lambs being slain? The veil was torn from top to bottom, signifying the way to God was made open. Because that veil separated you from God. That's where the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat was at. The Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could enter. That was opened up. How? By the shed blood of Christ. Oh, the timing of God. Isn't it good? Absolutely. So think about what Jesus is saying to his brothers here. He said, you know, my life is being lived according to divine schedule, according to the sovereign will of God the Father. But your lives aren't on any schedule. That's what he's basically telling them. I'm on the divine plan of God the Father. And he tells his brothers, but your time is always ready. You know, you're just doing your own thing. It doesn't matter. You're not under the direction of God. Could they have been? Yeah. But they chose not to. You know, Paul speaks of our new life in Christ in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and really what we were doing in the past. He said, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What did we do? How did we walk before we were saved? And really what unbelievers are doing today according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And the Greek word for walked in Ephesians 2:2 is better translated meandered. Jesus walked with a purpose, right? According to the will of God the Father. But the unsaved walk without a purpose. They're following the course that the world is setting. They're satisfying their fleshly desires by what they do. When you're walking with a purpose, you're looking straight ahead. You're paying attention. You have a goal in mind, and you're determined to do it. But when you meander, look out. I've told you before, you know, years ago, it's probably like some 35, 40 years ago, I was in Milwaukee at a nursing seminar, and I got up real early in the morning. It was still dark out. It was wintertime. It was snowing out. Just beautiful. It was kind of powdered stuff, you know. And I was just enjoying it, just looking around. And then I was looking up at the sky because I had hit a sign. My face was planted on that sign. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention. It was very embarrassing. But you know, the first thing you do when it doesn't matter how much pain you're in, the first thing you do is look how many people saw you. And there were cars all over the place, you know. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm humbled here. You know. But think about it. When you meander, you're really not going anywhere. You're just, you know, going, not paying attention. One man said, and I want you to understand, I didn't say this. This is another man who said it. It takes me 5 minutes to walk from one end of the mall to the other. It takes my wife all day. Okay. I didn't say that, Julie. I did not say that. Some guy did, and I haven't heard from him in so long. I don't know what happened to him. But isn't it true? I mean, I love my wife dearly, but when she goes shopping, she loves to just look at things. Oh, look at this. And, you know, and for me, I'm like, I need a shirt. Boom, got the shirt. I'm out. You're home already, Joe? Yeah. I just came for a shirt. I didn't, you know, I'm not looking at anything. So I guess the difference from guys and girls, big one. As Christians, though, we need to be careful and walk with a purpose. Know what God wants us to do. We have divine purposes in our life. God has things for us to do. And, you know, Paul said in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Let me ask you a question. Do you think the days are evil today? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an easy answer to that one. So how are we to walk? Circumspectly. Pay attention. Be alert. It's not time to, you know, bury your head in the sand and ignore everything that's going on. Walk circumspectly. Pay attention. Redeem the time that you have. Why? Because the days are evil. Use the resources you have to build up the kingdom of God. One writer said, "As believers walk through the spiritual minefield of the world, they are to be constantly alert to every danger that Satan puts in their way." Absolutely. Absolutely. Pay attention. Look straight forward. Don't lose sight. And it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Absolutely it is. Now also Jesus said to his brothers, and really to all who don't believe, "The world cannot hate you." Really? The world can't hate unbelievers. Why? Because they're following the ways of the world. There's no light that's shining from unbelievers. So it's not exposing, their lifestyle is not exposing any darkness. Haven't you heard people say, "Well, I would never do that, but I'm not going to condemn someone who's doing it." Well, you're just darkness then. There's no light. If someone is in sin, and you're saying, "Well, you know, they can do whatever they want. I don't really care because, you know, people can do whatever they want." That's darkness. Jesus said that the world hates him because he testifies that their works are evil. See, that's why does the world hate Christians so much? Because we're a light and we expose the darkness. And they don't like that because when you expose darkness, their sin is revealed. That's the problem. And the world is perfectly fine when the standards, when we agree with the standards they're living by. That's why churches today, look at how many embrace homosexuality, gay lifestyle, all kinds of immoral activity. They embrace it. I'm not saying that gay people can't come to the church, but please don't tell me that they're saved. That's not compatible with what the scriptures say. But they allow it into the church, and the church is in darkness because they're not exposing the sin. Jesus warned us of how the world is going to treat us, guys. In John 15, verses 18 through 20, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Well, that's interesting. So why is the world hating us? Because it hated Jesus. Well, why does it hate us? Because we're following Jesus. You see that? "If you were of the world would love its own." Well, that just makes sense, of course, because darkness and darkness doesn't expose anything. But light exposes darkness. "Yet because you are not of the world, in sense you're the light, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." You know, that's what we see here in the Gospel of John. Jesus exposed the sins of the people. Many of them, especially the religious leaders, didn't like it, and they want to kill him. Again, it's like today. You come against heresy that's being taught in the church, and people are mad at you. They're angry at you. They lash out at you. I can't tell you over, you know, almost 27 years how many people got mad at me because I came against something that was wrong. The thing is, are we going to fear man or are we going to fear God? I mean, if I didn't offend anyone over the last 27 years, we probably have a church, I don't know, 200 people. But they get mad. when you say something that they don't like. And instead of, and here's the thing, I guess, that really gets me. Instead of taking the time going, okay, I wonder if that's something I need to look at in my heart and pray about it and talk with me. But they don't. They run. And I'll tell you what, you can run wherever you want, but God is still going to deal with you. You can't run away from your sin. That's just the reality. Don't let the fear of man drive you. Let the Spirit of God guide you. That is so important. So Jesus tells his brothers to go up to the feast. He was going to stay in the area of Galilee for a time. And as we're going to see, at the time that God determined, Jesus is going to go to the feast. But again, we've seen the Father's perfect timing. But as we read on, we see disbelief of the Jews. Look at verse 10 here in John chapter 7. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, "He is good." Others said, "No, on the contrary, he deceives the people." However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So here the half-brothers of Jesus head to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And when they traveled to these feasts, they usually did with others. You know, large groups of people went. They traveled together for protection. And they're going up for a feast. So it was a celebration time. So they're going up. They're singing hymns, the hallelujah, psalms many times. And so big groups of people. Remember when after the Feast of Passover, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus and the family were heading back, and they forgot Jesus. Well, they didn't forget Jesus. Jesus was in the temple listening and teaching the Jewish religious leaders. And they left for 3 days they're traveling, right? And finally, I don't know, Mary, Joseph goes, "Hey, where's Jesus? I thought you had him." You know, it's kind of embarrassing when you lose God like that. You know, how do you explain that one? I don't know. I thought he was, I don't know what happened, right? But how could that happen? Because they're traveling with these large groups of people and everyone just kind of joined in the crowd and you just traveled. And you may not see him for a while. I mean, 3 days seems like a long time, but, you know, you've got other family members with you. You think, well, Jesus is probably just going around with the other family members, this other group, you know, the other kids, you know, whatever. So 3 days, they realize he's not there. And again, they find him in the temple as they head back, you know, questioning and answering questions with these Jewish religious leaders. The half-brothers of Jesus are in this large group traveling to Jerusalem. And it says that Jesus didn't go openly. What does that mean? It doesn't mean he went with this large procession of people. He went by himself. Alfred said, not in the usual caravan company, nor probably by the usual way. Absolutely. You know, another wrote, this is to say he went up, but not at his brother's instigation, nor with the publicity they had recommended. Now, was he being deceptive here with his brothers? No. And not going with a large group? No. He didn't want to cause any trouble because why? His time had not yet come. So this is done kind of in secret because he didn't want to get things rolling yet. It wasn't time. For the Jewish religious leaders, how did they know Jesus was going to come to this feast? Because he was required to. That was the reason. So it's pretty simple. So they're looking for him. Not to receive his teachings, not to believe in him, but they want to capture him. They want to put him to death. Isn't that nice? It's a feast, worshiping God, and they want to put Jesus to death. But that's what they did in Passover as well. But they didn't find him yet. He didn't present himself openly at this time. So as these crowds grew in Jerusalem, there's all this discussion of Jesus and this disbelief of the Jews. You know, some said he was good, others said he wasn't good. That he was deceiving people. Isn't that interesting? There's no neutrality with Jesus. You're either for him or against him, isn't that? You know, I remember talking, you know, I would talk with Catholics who, you know, claim to be Christian, but I want to talk to them about Jesus. And they would go nuts. Are you kidding? That's no, we don't want to. Let's talk about the Pope. Oh, sure, yeah. What do you want to know? Mary. Oh, yeah. The saints. No problem. when you talk about Jesus, wow, it's like you said a dirty word. And that's the problem. There's no neutrality with Jesus. Have you ever heard someone, you know, bang their thumb with a hammer and curse Buddha, Allah? Why? Because there's something about that name, Jesus. And Satan loves to just blasphemy God. And so Jesus is put in there. And the thing is, if you're not for him, you're against him. Everyone has an opinion. If you're not taking a stand for Jesus, you're really against him. And I know people don't like that, but Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. You're either for me or against me. There's no, you know, people say, well, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. No. If you're on the fence, you're on the wrong side of the fence, okay? You're not sitting on top of the fence. You're either for Jesus or against him. No. Again, some said he was good, but I don't think they were talking about receiving him as Almighty God. But he did good things. You know, he fed people, healed people. That was good. And Jesus, as we've talked about in this gospel, continually over and over and over again said that he was Almighty God. But they weren't listening. They were more interested in the other things, the feeding, you know, give me bread, give me this, give me that, take care of this. Many people tend to look at Jesus and say, you know, he was a really good teacher, though. If you look at the things he taught, he talked about loving people and caring for, he's just a good teacher. The humanity of Jesus. But what was Jesus focused on? That he's Almighty God, the deity of Jesus Christ. And that's where people, they don't like that. They don't want to deal with that. Was this hard for the Jewish people to accept? Absolutely, but it was because they didn't know their scriptures. If they would have known their scriptures, they would have seen that God was going to become flesh, the virgin birth. Micah talks about him coming from everlasting, no matter how far back in time you go, this Messiah who was to be born in Bethlehem is Almighty God. So they didn't look at their scriptures, or they twisted the scriptures to make them say what they want. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, where God says, let us make man in our image. They said that's just speaking of how God is so magnificent. No, it's speaking of the plurality of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, they had to make it fit to what they wanted to believe instead of what the scriptures were saying. And again, Jesus made radical claims, but he backed it up, right? In fact, we saw four witnesses that testified of who he was. John the Baptist, the miracles that he did, the testimony of God the Father calling Jesus God, and the witness of the scriptures that testify that he's the Messiah, Almighty God who came to save us from our sins. And yes, radical statements, but Jesus had the proof to substantiate what he was saying. And here's the thing. He was either who he said he was, or he's a deceiver. He can't be both. He's either the Son of God or he wasn't the Son of God. And this is where a lot of disputing goes today. And everyone here, everyone listening on the radio, the internet, has their own opinion about Jesus. Because like I said, there's no neutrality. You're either going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, or you're going to believe something else. Maybe he's a liar, a fraud, a deceiver. But, you know, you look at the evidence, he's not a liar, he's not a fraud, he's not a deceiver. You know, C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity talks about that. You know, all the people thinking that Jesus is a good teacher is ridiculous. He's either who he says he is or he's a horrible teacher. Could you imagine? He's telling people that he's Almighty God and he's really not. Is that a good teacher? No. It's a horrible teacher. And that's the problem. So many people today want to believe in a Jesus that they made from the imagination of their own heart. And that'll get you nowhere. Why do you think we have the scriptures, the Bible? We have them so God can show himself to us. How can we believe what the Bible has to say? Because in these from Genesis to Revelation, there's no contradiction. Here's a book written over a 1,500-year period, written by like some 40 different authors in three different languages from three different continents on really controversial subjects, and they don't contradict. How does that happen? Because this is God speaking to us. The Holy Spirit inspired these words. If I just pick 10 of you and told you to write about a controversial subject, we get all kinds of ideas. How do you get 40 different authors, from kings to peasants and everything in between, to write with such accuracy? Because it's God. And this is the problem. When we come up with an idea of who Jesus is from our own hearts, imaginations, we are rejecting the God of the Bible. That may seem harsh, but when people say he was just a good teacher, there's a problem. For these Jewish people, they're arguing about who he is. But the people themselves, the common people, they didn't speak openly. Why? Because they feared the Jews. Well, that's interesting. Why were they fearing the Jewish religious leaders? This is, that again, that phrase, the Jews, are speaking of the Jewish religious leaders. Because these guys had such power. You can get kicked out of the synagogue. So all your fellowship is gone. They were the ones that helped with jobs, so you would probably lose your job. Your family would disown you. So this was a big deal, this fear. Bruce said whether they approved or disapproved of him, they did not voice their opinions too loudly or too publicly. The authorities did not wish him to be discussed at all, and anyone who disregarded their wishes was liable to feel their displeasure. Absolutely. You know, in the days that we're living in, and I'll bring this to a close here, we need to redeem the time because I believe we are here for such a time as this. I think the time is here for us to proclaim the gospel message, to stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God. Use whatever resources God has given you. What does he have for your life? What does he want you to do? I know some people, you know, because of illness and all, they feel they can't do anything. Well, you can pray. We need prayer more than anything in the world. Prayer is the heavy artillery. And after prayer, after the heavy artillery has been launched into an area, is when you go in and you pick up the resources. You go in and you win those battles. The heavy artillery, prayer. We have to stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God and not compromise. So will there be opposition? Yeah, of course there will. There always will be. But for us, don't enter into disbelief. Lean on the Lord with all of your understanding, okay? Don't lean on your own understanding because, man, it's going to be a mess. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He's going to direct your paths. People think, well, that was back then. No, that's for today. I don't know about you, but I need my paths directed because I get lost very easily. You know, I have such patterns that I follow, you know, and I always have ways that I go to church. And Julie and I will be going out somewhere, and I'm turning to go to church. Julie's like, where are you going? I'm going to church. I got to turn around. I need God to direct my life. And as you need God to direct your life as well. And I believe with all my heart that God has his perfect timing for us to do the things that he wants us to do, and he's going to direct us each and every day. I think so often, so many of these things happen so naturally that we don't even think about God orchestrating them. But when you sit back and look and go, you see what God has done, what do? Thank you, Lord, for doing that. You praise him. Where if you're not paying attention or you're not looking, you don't praise him. And don't walk, you know, in disbelief at all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I'll close with this. There was an Australian native preacher who went to a little church in the bush to preach. And it was dusk when he arrived. The place didn't have any light. And he wondered what he was going to do about it. Well, he started to see twinkling lights moving about through the bush. His congregation was arriving. And each person carried a hurricane lamp. And as they came in, they placed their lamps upon a shelf around the chapel wall. And soon the whole place was flooded with light. Each had contributed light that had dispelled the darkness. Your share is needed in a world which desperately needs the illumination of the gospel. Absolutely. You're a light. And wherever you go, you'll dispel the darkness. Wouldn't it be wonderful here in Manitowoc to have our school board filled with light to expel the darkness that has come into the school system? But guys, we're all lights. Go and shine for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and how you encourage us and move us forward, Lord. you don't want us to be spectators. You want us to be on the field serving you and then giving glory to you for the work you're doing in us and through us. We love you so much, Lord. We pray for our communities. Lord, that the light we have would shine so brightly it would expel the darkness, and people's lives would be transformed. They'd be free from drug, alcohol, all kinds of addictions, Lord, as they come to the saving faith, they come to you. We thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.